Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And by the grace of God, we've been able to do 22 books of the Bible. If you've not been able to listen to them, you can find them on all podcast channels. That is Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, name it. Also on our app, Bible In-Depth Network, you can find it on Play Store. And you'll be able to find all the episodes we've done. Remember, there is no limitation to Revelation. God reveals His Word to everybody who shows the need. If you want God to reveal His Word to you, He will reveal it to you. So even as we listen, even as you study the Bible, trust the Lord. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you in what you read, and the Lord shall reveal His word to you. We are handling the book of Isaiah, and today we continue with chapter 30 of the book. It starts by saying, "Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me." Now is warning Judah here, Isaiah speaking, and they make a decision to go to Egypt to seek alliances with Egypt without consulting the Lord. And here he comes and says, those are rebellious children. When you do something without consultation of the Lord, without asking the Lord, without looking whether it falls in the plan of the Lord, then at some level it's considered rebellious. And here he says they execute a plan. They say we shall go to Egypt, and they indeed go without asking God. It's their plan, not God's plan. They make an alliance, not following the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is within me. The Spirit of the Lord is within you. And God has been gracious to give us the Holy Spirit. And He tells us He will lead you. He will lead you. He will be your guide. The Holy Spirit, as my guide, gives me the plan of the Lord. He tells me about what to do and what not to do. And when I come out and disobey, when I come out and live my own life and do my own things without listening to the Holy Spirit, then I live in rebellion. Just like these people who went into Egypt without consulting the Lord. These people of Judah, they make a decision and they do it, and God is not happy about it. He says, you've executed a plan that's not mine. You've made an alliance and it's not by my spirit. As a Christian today, it is very important that I listen to the Holy Spirit, because He is within me. He speaks to me. He guides me. There's that still small voice within you that always tells you what to do and what not to do. When you're about to make a decision that is harmful, and it says, do not do that. When you listen, you're safe. When you don't listen, you land in trouble. You land in rebellion. And it is key for us as Christians to always listen to that still small voice, the Holy Spirit who is within me, that I listen, and not only listen because he's listening and also doing your own things, but listen and follow the action that the Holy Spirit tells you to follow. And oftentimes we use the words, God told me. And God has spoken to me. But it is key for me to know that when the Lord is speaking, He's speaking positively. How do you know that the voice that is speaking within you is one that is of the Lord? It is always positive. It is always for morality. It is always for the honor of the Lord. You cannot receive a message that go and abuse that person, and you say that you've been spoken to by the Spirit. No, that's not right, because that's not positive. That is not in the moral code of the Lord. That is not in the line of the Lord. But there are words you receive, and they are positive, telling you, go help the children. Go help the needy. Go help the poor. Go bless somebody. Go and do this to improve someone's life. Go read your Bible. Go to church. All those are positive words. And that's being spoken to you by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. So, here, these people of Judah, they make a decision to go into Egypt, to make an alliance with them without consulting the Lord. And it says, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. They've forgotten the Lord, so they now seek safety with Pharaoh. Because they feel Pharaoh is strong. He is mighty. He has a big army. He's got chariots. He's got everything that would keep them safe if they have an alliance with him. But hey, we do not seek refuge with men. We do not seek refuge with people. We do not seek refuge with wealth, with things that we trust, that are strong, that will lead us through in life, in times of trouble. No, we seek refuge in the Lord. Judah here, being warned, was supposed to seek refuge in the Lord. But now they sought it with Pharaoh. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation. These same things you thought will protect you, he says, shall be your shame and your humiliation. The money you thought will protect you will be your shame and your humiliation. The friends you thought will be your refuge will become your shame and your humiliation. And people will laugh, will look at you and wonder, how far did you fall? Because instead of seeking hope, instead of seeking refuge in the Lord, you sought it with men. You sought it with your peers. You sought it with those that have the money. You sought it with the relative that will solve all your problems. Yet, at that point, God was waiting. God was saying, come to me, I will give you hope. I will restore your life. I will restore your hope. And that is what happens here with these people of Judah. He tells them, because you went to Pharaoh to seek hope, you went there to seek peace, you went there to find comfort, now you'll find shame and humiliation. For their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors arrive at Hanes. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. That which you thought is going to be your source of comfort has instead become your center of shame and reproach. Those friends that you thought will be your source of comfort have become a source and a center of shame and reproach. Yeah? Verse 6, he gives us an oracle concerning the beasts of Negev here. And it says, through a land of distress and anguish, from there, from where come lioness and lion, viper and flying serpent, they carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasures on camel's humps, to a people who cannot profit them, even Egypt, whose help is in vain and empty. Therefore I have called her Rahab, who has been exterminated. Now go write it on a tablet before them and inscribe it on a scroll, that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who said to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us the pleasant words. Prophecy illusions. The people who always want to hear the best words. They don't want to hear the reality. They don't want to get the fact of prophecy. And they are the ones that he's talking about here. You don't want to receive the word from the Lord as it comes. You want it with some lotion on it. You want to receive it when it has been packaged in a way that benefits you most. You know, sometimes we want to hear only good things, but sometimes hard rebuke will help. And not just comfort and softening. Sometimes we want to hear only good things, gracious words. But when you read the Bible, sometimes it's tough. And as tough as it is, you have to learn from it. So these people here were telling the seers, don't see visions. They were telling the prophet, say to us the words that are right. Don't bring the harsh words about judgment that is to come, about all the things that are to come, about the fact that if we don't live a righteous life, we are in trouble. No, tell us things that are good, prophecy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. That's what they decided to say. They decided to abandon the work and the words of the Lord and the instruction of the Lord. Do you know somebody like that today? And they were walking with the Lord. They once took him as their Lord and Savior. But right now they say, let us not hear any more about that Christ. Just like these people. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word and have put your trust in oppression and guile and have relied on them, therefore, this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose collapse comes suddenly and instant, whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a shard will not be found among its pieces, to take fire from a hearth or to scoop water from a cistern. Thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Now, he's giving them an option. He's saying, okay, irrespective of what you've gone through, irrespective of the decisions you've made to say you don't want to hear anything about me anymore, here is a way. Repent, and you'll be saved. Rest, and you'll be saved. This word always echoes in our lives, in our hearts. Repent. Yes, you had walked into the life of the world, drunkenness, moving streets in the night, partying and doing all that, getting into wrong company, forgetting the grace of the Lord. But he says, repent and you'll be saved. And repentance means you turn back. You turn from that direction completely, not halfway. You turn completely. If you are headed for one direction and they say repent, it means turn completely. And when you turn, you don't look back. And so he says, for those that had forgotten me, repent, and you'll be saved. And he says, in quietness and trust is your strength. Be quiet. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord, irrespective of the circumstances surrounding you, the poverty surrounding you, the joblessness surrounding you, the troubles in your family surrounding you. Be quiet. Be still. Wait. And trust in the Lord, because that is your strength. But then he adds a word here and says, but you were not willing. And you said, no, for we flee on horses, therefore we shall flee. And we ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man. You'll flee at the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on a mountain top, and as a signal on the hill. Whenever there is no willingness to listen to the Lord, to repent, to turn, you're exposing yourself to trouble. And you're not in the protection of the Lord. Let us have the willingness to listen to the Lord. Let us have the willingness to do that which the Lord tells us to do. Verse 18, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. That word just gives me peace. That the Lord longs to be gracious to me. It's like there's a longing. He's looking forward to pour this grace upon us. Yeah? And therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. He's waiting, saying, come from wherever you had scattered and enjoy my grace. Come from wherever you had scattered and get my compassion. Swim in it. Bask in it. That is what he's saying. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Who do you cry to? Cry to the Lord. He will hear and answer you. Who do you talk to? Talk to the Lord. His grace is abundant. His compassion is abundant. Do that and he will hear you and he will answer you. Run to the Lord and fall in his arms because he is ready for you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Yes, he says they've gone through a period of judgment and tough times, but God will no longer hide himself from them. He's their teacher. He's been teaching them. Sometimes we ought to know that we are being taught. We're in class, being taken through some circumstances, and it is a lesson for us. Yeah? This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, and you defile your graven images overlaid with silver, and your molten images plated with gold, you will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. Then he will give you rain for the seed which you sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. On that day, your livestock will graze in roomy pasture. There is a promise here for good days, but good days require action. They have to get those images, those gods, those idols that they'd set for themselves, and break them down. Then rain will come. You have to make a decision for the blessing of the Lord. You make room for it. When the images are still there, there is no room for blessing. When those habits, those addictions, that lifestyle is still there, there is no room for the Lord to come in. Make way. And he says you have to tell them, be gone. You have to tell those circumstances to be gone and leave room for the Lord. That's what he's telling them here. And then when you do that, my blessing will come. I will send you rain. And that seed which you sow will sprout. Your animals will have enough to graze upon. Also, the oxen and the donkeys which work the ground will eat salted fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. On every lofty mountain and on every high hill, there will be streams of running water. On the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days, on the day the Lord binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruise he has inflicted. He has inflicted them, but he's promising that I'll bind you up. I'll sort out this pain that you're going through. I'll patch your wounds. Yeah, that's what, how much grace and compassion he has, that even after punishing, even after punishment, there is a cleansing that he does. And says, behold, the name of the Lord comes from a remote place. Burning is his anger and dense is his smoke. His lips are filled with indignation and his tongue like a consuming fire. His breath like an overflowing torrent, which reaches to the neck to shake the nations back and forth in a sieve and to put in the jaws of the peoples the bridle which leads to ruin. You will have songs as in the night when you keep the festival, and gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will cause his voice of authority to be heard, and the descending of his arm to be seen in fierce anger, and in the flame of a consuming fire, in cloudburst, downpour, and hailstones. For at the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be terrified. Assyria is, remember, the one that used to torture them, take them through a hard time. They'll be terrified. And when he strikes with the rod, and every blow of the rod of punishment which the Lord will lay on him will be the music of tambourines and lyres, and in battles brandishing weapons, he will fight for them. For Topheth has long been ready. Indeed, it has been prepared for the king. He has made it deep and large, a pyre of fire with plenty wood. The breath of the Lord, like a torrent, brimstone, sets it afire. Selling them, you will have some level of joy and peace. I'll give it to you when your enemy is broken. That is a promise that God gives us always. He will fight your battles. Doesn't matter how big the battle is. He will fight that Assyria for you. Just trust in him. We shall close with chapter 31. And it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. We've looked at this earlier on. And rely on horses. And trust in chariots because they are many. And in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel. Nor seek the Lord. They run to where they find and hope that there is going to be their refuge, which is Egypt. Egypt can represent very many things for us here on earth. Running, looking for refuge in the wrong direction, looking to the rich for your hope, looking to men to sustain your life as a lady or as a young girl or as a woman. And you're saying, if I get myself a rich man, I'm sorted. If I get myself a man who will take care of me, I'm sorted. You're looking to that Egypt for help. You're saying, it has chariots and horsemen. That man has all the cars in the world, has everything, has all the money. So you will sell yourself, your values, your body, your integrity, so that you're safe in the hands of Egypt. And you do not look to the Lord, who is in charge of all the earth, in charge of everything. As is the word that comes out to us, what is that which represents Egypt in our lives that we focus on and forget the Lord? That we look to the connections we have in places, the connections you have in a certain job interview that you're going for, and you know you have connections, so you will make it through, and you don't look to the Lord. That Egypt. Because you trust in chariots and horsemen and forget the Lord. I need to look to the Lord at all times. Because men will fail you. Men will bring you down. Men will forsake you. But God will not. And it goes on in verse 1, says, yet he also is wise and will bring disaster, and does not retract his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. Those which you believe are your center of hope, he says he can judge them. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. It's clear. Those things that we look to for help are not like the Lord. Here he's saying the Egyptians you're running to, my children, are men and not God. They are flesh. They will fade away. They will die and go to the ground. That money that you think is your center of hope can fly away in a second. And he goes on and says, so the Lord will stretch out his hand, and he who helps will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and all of them will come together to an end together. So that which represents Egypt and the one that goes for it will all fall. Because it's not what matters, it is God that matters. For thus says the Lord to me, as the lion or the young lion growls over his prey, against which a band of shepherds is called out, and he will not be terrified at their voice, nor disturbed at their noise. So will the Lord of hosts come down to wage war on Mount Zion and on its hill. Like flying birds, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will pass over and rescue it. Return to him, from whom you have deeply defected, O sons of Israel. For in that day every man will cast away his silver idols, his gold idols, which your sinful hands have made for you as a sin. And the Assyrian will fall by a sword, not of man, and a sword, not of man, will devour him. What does it mean? It is God himself that will overcome the trouble of Israel, which is Assyria. It is God himself who will fight for them. They don't have to go make alliances with Egypt to fight Assyria. They don't have to go make alliances with Egypt to sort their life. I don't have to make alliances with rich men and all those other things in the world that say, I'll be your hope. I need to go to the Lord because he will fight for me. And he says they will receive their victory. So he will not escape the sword, and his young men will become forced laborers. His rock will pass away because of panic, and his princes will be terrified at the standard, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. We shall close there today. Trust in the Lord. Believe in him. He is the hope. Don't look to the world. Don't look to the forces of the world. Don't look to those who say, we are your hope. They are not. God is your hope and your salvation. And he will come out for you. And he will fight for you. And you'll be victorious because God is your hope. Be not afraid. The enemy might come. The situation surrounding you might be fierce. You're scared. You're wondering, how will I study? How will I get my tuition? How will I get my school fees? How will I get this which I need in my life? Don't look to men. Look to God. Go, be quiet. Wait on him. Talk to him. And he will come out for you. Because when he comes to fight, he does not come with the sword of men. He comes with his might and with his power. And he overcomes and is victorious for you. There is a promise for us that God's grace is abundant. God's compassion, his love is abundant. It will sort out all the troubles that the enemy has placed before you. It will break down the walls that have been set before you. It will pave way for that business of yours. Whatever has been appearing stunted in your life, God has made a promise to us that his grace is abundant. He longs for us to enjoy that grace. He longs for us to share in that compassion. And how are we going to do it? Like he has told these people of Israel, lay down your idols, break them down, crush them, make room for me. Whatever you had placed as the alternative for your trouble, break it down, make room for the Lord. Make room for the Lord. Make room. The strategies you had set, ungodly strategies to take you out of your trouble, break them down. Make room for the Lord. Pave way for the Lord and let his grace and love and compassion come and lift you out of the miry clay. Let God take charge and he will seat you in the place of hope, in a place of peace. You shall not want because God loves you. Egypt is not your refuge. God is your refuge. Egypt is not your hope. God is your hope. Egypt is not your source of peace. God is your source of peace. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your revelations, Lord. And we pray that you touch our lives, heal us, restore us, bring hope to a life that had lost hope. And Lord, we trust in you and know that when you come to work, you'll work exceedingly abundantly above all that we think and even ask. Lord, come and restore us. Lord, come and deliver us. Lord, come and give us peace and joy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.